The following is a Barrett Sports Media production. We do the digging, so you don't have to.
We've got breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Bringing you the biggest stories from the industry you care about. This is the Media Noise Podcast.
Well, let's hear it.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Ravanos.
We are going to do things a little bit differently today. Rather than take you into a couple of stories that have been blowing up the site, I wanted to give you guys a behind-the-scenes look at how editorial decisions are made here at BarrettSportsMedia.com. You might have seen this week, we have a lot of people that have contributed articles inspired by Naomi Osaka's decision to pull out of the French Open. I am included in my column about the fact that it's pretty clear the media made this easy for Roland Garros and other tennis majors to respond in the most harsh way. It was polar opposite from what Jay Mariotti wrote, saying that this is a bad decision that derails Naomi Osaka's career. I kind of wanted to take you into the thought process here at Barrett Sports Media so you better understand how those two columns can be published on the exact same day. But first, let's talk about Ricky Keeler's story that he put up after listening to the Dan Dockich podcast where Dave Portnoy was on the show, because Portnoy said something really interesting, and that was the rejection of ESPN, the fact that ESPN pulled the plug so quickly on Barstool Van Talk, the TV partnership that PFT and Big Cat were supposed to have with the worldwide leader, sort of established this us against the world brand at Barstool, and it helped them find the voice they needed to in order to thrive. Portnoy tells the story of using some language that he claims he regrets in talking about Samantha Ponder on College Game Day, and Ponder later bringing up those very tweets that Portnoy sent out to say to ESPN management, is this the kind of person that we want to be partners with? I certainly do not. And Portnoy he has an interesting reaction here. I think it's very interesting that he says he regrets using the language that he does, because you don't really hear Dave Portnoy say he regrets things very often. The other thing that I think is very clear is there is a little bit of begrudging respect for Samantha Ponder and flexing her muscle in that moment the way she did. So that was the first thing that struck me as interesting. The other thing is, I wonder if this is a realization that Dave Portnoy had in the moment, or if it is something that looking back on, he recognizes that the rejection of ESPN is a big part of what allowed Barstool to thrive in the way that it has. Because if he recognized that in the moment, man, kudos to him. And if he didn't, that's okay too. I really look back at that and think about the Barstool Van Talk experiment on ESPN and think, you know, I don't know if it would have worked out for either brand the way they were hoping to, because Barstool does things a very specific way, and I think it would have made it very hard for ESPN to be as successful as they want to be in snapping up every major sports play-by-play right they possibly can. Conversely, I think the leash would have been put on Barstool. And look, I would not classify myself as a stoolie. I think they do have some very funny personalities over there who I enjoy on Twitter and other social media platforms, but I don't think that Barstool and Dave Portnoy get to operate a shop that lets people just come in and prove that they are funny and that they belong if they have the Disney oversight, if they have to figure out what works best for television. So in the end, I think both sides end up coming out winners, that this Van Talk project did not go forward any further than it did. But I do wonder, how long did it take Dave Portnoy to come to that realization? It's a really interesting interview you should take a listen to if you have the time. This week, we had what I think was an issue that sort of highlighted what makes this site unique. I wrote a piece about Naomi Osaka dropping out of the French Open, basically being bullied out of the French Open by the organizers, saying, boy, the media made this really easy for Roland Garros organizers to do. Jay Mariotti took a very opposite approach. I mean, like, I will be completely honest, I wholeheartedly disagree with Jay Mariotti's take, but serving as the editor of the site, it is not my job to make sure everything flows in the way that I think about the world. Jason Barrett is with me, obviously the leader of the site. If I had come to you and said, Jay Mariotti's column offends me, I'm not putting it up, would I have a job today?
No.
Yeah.
Is there things that I put up on the site that I completely disagree with?
Right.
Like, I love Ryan McGuire. We're great friends. I don't agree with him on don't ever put guests on. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. I can understand his point. I think there's a valuable part to that conversation. I think in some cases that works. I also think if you did that with Dan Patrick, you'd be out of a job.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the same thing. Like, you're going to have, like, we cover sports and news. You're going to have writers who write from a right-wing perspective, writers who write from a left-wing perspective. This issue, there's two sides of this. So, like, I look at it, I go, you know, you can on one hand advocate for Naomi Osaka and loving the fact that she's honest, she's transparent, she's going through some challenges with mental health, and you could be supportive of her and at the same time advocate for access. There's not like one has to be right and the other one is completely wrong. It's just different layers to the conversation, and the way you write and the way Jay writes are very different. You guys live in different pockets, you're different ages. I think there's value to both conversations, and there are going to be people who read the site who are going to go, you know what, I'm with Dimitri on this one, Jay's a dope. On the other hand, there's going to be someone who says, Jay's right on, Dimitri's a dope. So what? It's difference of opinion. Everybody's got them, and that's okay.
And that's one of the reasons that I thought that this was a good conversation to have between you and me rather than hash out difference of opinion with Jay, is because this is more about the way we go about covering the media and the stories that sort of drive our business. I mean, you know, you and I have talked about that I am not a big fan of Clay Travis. I cannot deny that his move is pretty brilliant. Like his move of selling out Kick to Fox, making the move over to right-wing talk radio. Like, my personal feelings about his content aside, I think that the role of this site is to take the 30,000 foot up view, and the 30,000 foot up view is whether you think that dude is a hot take artist or disingenuous or whatever, he played it perfectly, right? And so I think that this is another one of those things where no matter how you view Naomi Osaka's decision here, there is conversation to be had. Both sides are so sure they are right about this. Rather than have the fight, let's let both sides have their say and let the readers figure it out.
Look, that's always been my view. I think, and this is, look, I'll tell you where you and I are a little different. I take a manager's point of view on things. You take more of a ground floor mentality, the host, the producer type of approach. Doesn't mean you don't understand the management. Doesn't mean I don't understand the host and producer point of view. I look at it like this. Whether I like certain things, like there are things I think Clay Travis does great. There are things I don't like that he says. There are things that Dave Portnoy says that I think are brilliant. There are things he said in the past I don't like. That's okay. I don't live in, you know, I don't just go, okay, this guy is done, you know, dead to me. He's an idiot. And I'll never, no, because every great talent has got some form of brilliance behind what they do, right? If you worked with Dan Patrick, you would love the way the guy interviews. You would also say, sure, we got to work on the monologue, right? If you worked with Francesa, you'd say the monologue's great. Can we shorten some of those questions? Right? So, like, every talent has something they're really great at if they're doing this successfully for a while. And so I try to look for that. Like, I realize it's funny. I deal with a lot of DMs, a lot of texts, and a lot of emails when we put stuff out. I can't believe you would give a form to this crap.
Yeah.
My response to that, Dimitri, is always, how much did it cost you to click that article? I didn't force you. I'm okay if you don't want to read it. You're not going to hurt my feelings. We're not built on like, oh my God, we got to have traffic or we're going to go out of business. No, we try to cover the media industry. And covering the media industry, like, if you like Lebatard and Bomani, you might not like Clay. If you like Clay, you might not like Bomani and Lebatard. Guess what? There's two different paths here to doing good content. And you're going to find the people you do and don't like. Like, you wrote a piece this week on calls, right? Mm-hmm. And you talked to Feinbaum, who said, calls are absolutely vital to what we do. And then you could talk to someone who says, dude, I want no calls ever on a radio show. Great. There's two ways to win at this.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, let's just get, we're fortunate that right now between sports and news, I think the last time I checked, we had 25 or 26 people writing on the site. There's 25 different people that you can pick and choose who you like to read. And then you figure out what you like and don't like. And if you don't like it, don't spend time on it. There's other stuff to read.
So let me ask you a question. This is something that has been asked to me about you. And I've honestly wondered in the way we run the site, the conversations you and I have about talent we do and don't like, stuff like that. Do you think there is room as a manager, as somebody that manages the people putting out the content? Do you think there is room to sort of have a set of morals or standards that you operate by, or do you have to check that stuff at the door?
For me, I check it at the door because it isn't about my personal belief.
Mm-hmm.
And if you worried about pleasing every single individual who, for every email you get that goes, dude, I got to tell you, your website's going way down. I don't understand why you'd put that out. You then get another email that says, dude, thank God you guys are the leaders of truth and putting this out there. So who do I pick? You want me to pick the guy that thinks it's great or the guy who thinks it sucks? So my answer is simple. There's 25 people there. We're putting out 35, 40 pieces of content a day. Guess what? There's going to be some stuff you don't like. There's going to be plenty you do like. Like Jay's piece, if you are an advocate for Naomi Osaka, you're going to be pissed off with Jay's piece. If you are on the opposite side going, listen, she had responsibility. She pulled out in the middle of a tournament. And look, there are pressures that come with playing professional sports. I mean, her own sister blasted that she was pulling out for being criticized. So I see both sides. I go, look, Honestly, it's not really that big of an issue for me because I don't follow women's tennis and I'm not really big on Naomi Osaka. I'm not going to claim to be the tennis expert who can tell you everything about her. But I look and I go, it's a media issue. There's two sides to it. I can see both sides to it. I do find it interesting. If you look at a lot of the people who have come forward who are defending her, there's tend to be a lot of people under 40. A lot of the people critical or going, hold on, she's got responsibilities, tend to be over 40. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't some trade-off in between the age brackets. Mm. But look, that goes back to some folks like Jay who've been around, have covered the business for 30, 40 years, are going to look at it and go, hold on, whoa, 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 I know how this goes. She's got certain things she has to do. And you have new people going, why do we have to do that? Just because it's been done that way for 30 years? So look, I think when you're dealing with covering different brands, different agendas, different issues, if you try to play the I'm all in this boat or that boat, you're going to lose half an audience. And I'm not interested in that. I don't mind if someone says, like, you know, hey, I think you, like, I deal with it on the news talk side sometimes. I can't believe you'd write, one of your columnists would write a piece about Rush Limbaugh and how great he is. Listen, you can debate all you want. The guy's made a fortune and was on hundreds of radio stations. That's success in my book. Do I agree with everything you ever said on the air? No, it's not about that. He was a media personality with a big platform, and we cover the media. So if you hate Rush Limbaugh, you're probably going to take the column, put it out, and go, this guy's a piece of garbage. I can't believe they'd write that. And then there's somebody who likes him who goes, thank you for honoring what the guy did and meant to the industry. So that's where I kind of leave it. And if some want to criticize it, that's cool. But most of the time, I think you'll find there's quality stuff that we do. And there are going to be a few times you go, I don't know. I probably want to put that piece out. That's okay. That's part of the deal.
I will tell you wholeheartedly, if I have not told you this, like this is directly what I tell writers when we start working together. As long as you are not knowingly putting out bullshit or putting out something that could actively get somebody hurt, I totally will throw my hands up and just make sure you spell stuff correctly. Even then, like, you know me well enough to know I'm not even going to do that.
I mean, listen, I don't want, you know, like, I'm not into agenda-based reporting, like people, you know, going on per. I understand, like, if you're critical, like, you don't like certain things Clay does, that's okay. Like, opinion is, you know, a columnist to me is no different than a talk show host on the radio. Just like a reporter is no different than the update anchor or the reporter on the team. You're sharing information based on what you see or what's factual. When you have an opinion, you give an opinion based on something you see, something you read, something you watch, right? And so everybody's got different roles to play in a brand. And that's kind of how I look at what we do. If some people don't like it, that's okay. As long as we're not really trying to just smear people, I'm not into that at all. Like, you want to do that and you're not part of our brand, be my guest. I mean, you have a platform, you can tell people whatever you think about people, but I'm not really interested in trying to run a smear campaign on anybody. Obviously, we work with some folks, and I'm never going to try to embarrass them. I'll be fair if they don't have success. There's a line you got to walk. It's no different than a radio station. participation. You have a host on the air delivering strong opinion, and you're working with the team, or you're working with an advertiser. You don't think the advertiser or the team calls the radio boss and goes, hold on, I don't like the fact that we're buying a bunch of ad time from you, and your guy is crapping on my product right now. So, look, you got to deal with certain bosses. As long as we're accurate, we spell it right, we're ultimately trying to serve the media professional information that helps them learn, hopefully along the way makes them laugh a little, and they come around, you know, to the site and feel like they gain some value from it, I'm okay. And there is going to be times they don't, and that's okay too.
I'm glad you all got to hear that conversation between me and JB and maybe understand a little bit better how we make decisions and why we are so diverse in the content we put up here and the points of view that we put up here on the website. Thanks to JB for doing that. As far as what I'm looking forward to next week, this is a really interesting one. I think that this past week we have seen a lot of people take not so veiled shots at Pat McAfee and the way he goes about, I don't know if you would call it breaking news, but sort of telling you what it is he's heard and how that gets interpreted, not just by listeners, but by other members of the media, and what is news and what is not news, and how much of a journalist and how much integrity does that particular show have. What I am interested in going forward is how Pat McAfee responds to that. Does he cut back on telling you what it is his sources are telling him, because most of his sources are buddies from within the league, or does he double down, which is what my guess would be, that this is every bit a legitimate sports talk show as any other show, and if you cannot deal with the fact that Pat McAfee might have some sources that you don't, might do things a little bit differently than you do and still is able to find success, well, that's just the new reality of the world. That's the new reality of the media landscape. So I would be very interested to see both overtly and I guess you would say subconsciously how the Pat McAfee show responds to those sorts of criticisms. So we'll talk about that next week. Until then, see you later, everybody.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Thanks for listening to the Media Noise Podcast with Dimitri Ravanos. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. And check back soon for new episodes. To stay up to date on the latest sports media happenings, visit BarrettSportsMedia.com.